Read a verse out of the book of the New Testament first, coming from the book of James. From the book of James, chapter 5, verse number 16. To many of you, it will be a very, very familiar verse, something that you have perhaps read or heard many times. But I want to apply it again here today and draw some strength and encouragement. It said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that's good advice. Just be careful who you confess to. Just be careful who you confess to. Amen. But that's good. Find somebody to help you carry your burden. But I want to take our text today from the last portion of that verse. It said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want to, or title today, talk about a dynamic duo. Now that's not Batman and Robin. That's not Lone Ranger and Tonto. That's not Dale and what was her name? Roy is his name. That's not who I'm talking about, a dynamic. There are two things in this verse that are dynamic. And you put them together and you will have a winning combination. Amen. I'm talking today about prayer and righteousness. Prayer and righteousness. That is an unbeatable combination. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. In the book of 2 Chronicles, there's another verse of great interest, in another dynamic duo, if you will. 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 20, it said, for this cause Hezekiah, the king, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven. Amen. Two men that called on God, and I'm going to show you in just a few moments that because of their prayer, something almost incredible happened. Something that almost beyond belief took place just because of the prayers of two righteous men. The thing I want to talk about today, first of all, is prayer. Prayer is learning how to communicate with God. Communication is not a monologue. Communication is a dialogue. Communication goes both ways. I talk to God, God talks to me. Amen. Anybody got that kind of a connection today? You ever tried to carry on a conversation on the telephone with just one end talking? If you got a cell phone, you have. Because it drops about other phone call. And you'll find yourself saying, hello, hello, you there, hello. Not much of a conversation. Amen. Praise God. So prayer, some people don't understand what prayer is. They think that prayer's a monologue. It's a complaint line where if I got a complaint, I can go talk to God about it. Amen. And I can tell God, and that's the end of it. No, sir. Prayer's a dialogue. You talk to God, but if you'll stay there and listen, He'll talk back to you. Amen. And that's the vital part of prayer, is hearing from God. Now, if you don't expect to hear from God, you probably will not be disappointed. Amen. But if you do expect to hear from God, one way or another, you will. Now, God does not always, though sometimes He may, speak in an audible voice. Usually, He speaks in other ways. I like it when God speaks to me in peace. He just gives me the peace that passes all understanding, and He's simply saying, son, it's going to be all right. I know about it, and I already have an answer, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God gives peace in prayer. The other part of this is righteousness. When you combine righteousness with prayer, you have a powerful conversation. Righteousness is simply a right relationship with God. You're in a right relationship with God. And if you're in a right relationship with God, you'll also be in a right relationship with most of your brothers and sisters. You'll be getting along with everybody that wants to get along. Amen. Praise God. And so you're in a righteousness. Amen. Hezekiah and Isaiah were righteous men. The Bible, in the same context that we were reading in James, talks about Elijah. Elijah was a righteous man. And he prayed. And he said, God, he said, I want you to stop the rain and not rain till I say so. Now that sounds like a lunatic. And they probably thought he was. Amen. Jeff Arnold called him the sun-baked man from Sunshine Land. Amen. But I'm telling you what, when he said that, the righteous man prayed a prayer in the will of God, and God told the angels, shut off the waterworks. And they did. And it didn't rain. And the guy that they thought was crazy, when it didn't rain in 6 months and a year and a year and a half and 2 years and 2.5 years and 3 years, they were looking everywhere high and low trying to find him. Amen. You know, people may think you're crazy for this prayer and religion business. Amen. But if you're righteous, they know it. And when they get in trouble and they need somebody that knows how to pray, they're going to seek you. Because they recognize that prayer and righteousness are a powerful combination. So they sought Elijah. And they found him when he got ready to be found. And he came back. And he went with the king and he said, all right. He said, it's getting ready to rain. Why? Because you say so? Yeah. I told it not to. Now I'm going to tell it to. Now, it wasn't as easy to get it back on as it was to stop it, as is often the case. The first time he just said, it's not going to rain till I say so. The second time he prayed and nothing happened. And he prayed again and nothing happened. And he prayed again and nothing happened. And he prayed again and nothing happened. And he prayed 5 times and nothing happened. And he prayed 6 times and nothing happened. But he was a righteous man, and he kept praying. And the 7th time he prayed, amen, and he sent his servant, and he said, do you see a cloud? He said, I see a cloud like a man's hand. And he said, let's get out of here. It's getting ready to rain. Hallelujah. Amen, and it did. That man's hand was turning on the waterworks. Hallelujah. And down came the deluge. Hallelujah. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In the time of Hezekiah, Israel was very troubled. We were 250 years removed from David and his glorious kingdom. We're 215 years from Solomon and the United Kingdom. Under Solomon's son Rehoboam, the kingdom of Israel split in two. So when you read in the book of Kings, in the book of Chronicles about Judah, you're talking about Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes that stayed in Jerusalem and the south. And when you read about Israel, you're talking about the other 10 tribes that moved to the north and established a religious center and a capital in Samaria and built a strange altar there and began to worship false gods. Now God sent prophets to both. He sent prophets to Israel and he sent prophets to Judah because God still cared about his people even though they lived in error and in sin. God still had the desire to unite them once again and bring the kingdom back together. God is a God of unity. He does not like division and schism. And so the kingdom was divided. Now the northern kingdom, in all of their 20 plus kings, they never had not one good king sit on their throne. Not one. Judah had a combination of good kings and bad kings. Now, what separates a good king from a bad king in a kingdom that is dedicated to God? Well, a good king simply walks in the commandments of the Lord. And a bad king doesn't. When the king of Israel walked in the commandments of the Lord, the kingdom was blessed and had peace and prospered. When the kingdom did not walk in the commandments of God, they were troubled and there was confusion and rebellion and there was trouble on every hand. Case in point, Hezekiah's father was named Ahaz. Ahaz brought a horrible condition upon Jerusalem. He should have known better. He was the son, the grandson of a righteous man. And he was the son of a righteous man. But somehow Ahaz listened to the wrong people. He had the wrong role model. He said, I'm going to follow after the king of Israel. I'm going to be like them up there. And lo and behold, he got his eyes on the wrong one. Next thing you know, the king of Assyria comes and he takes Israel into captivity in 721 B.C. and they disappear, never to be found again. And so he had the wrong role model. Well, then he says, well, you know what? If the God of Israel couldn't deliver them and Assyria was able to conquer them, I'm going to worship the God of Assyria. So he went to Damascus. They had also conquered Syria. So he goes to Damascus and he sees this altar to the gods of the Assyrians. And he says, well, the God of Assyria could conquer the God of Israel. The only way he can is if God lets him. But if you live in rebellion, God's going to let things come into your life that are not His will. I've said this before and we'll say it again. God doesn't have to punish you. All He's got to do is lift His protection. And you'll punish yourself. And all kinds of things will come your way. The God puts the devil on the leash. But He can also lengthen the leash. God can let things into your life that He never intended to come into your life. But if you step into the devil's territory, he will eat your lunch and the rest of you. And that's exactly what Ahaz did. He forgot the God of Israel. Amen. The Bible says that he actually shut up the house of God. The temple. He shut the temple up. He robbed gold and silver out of the temple and paid tribute to the king of Assyria. He went to the king of Assyria, his enemy, and saw an altar there, and he called for the high priest from Israel to come up, and he said, I want you to build an altar like this in Jerusalem. Hey, you be careful what altar you get to worship at. He started worshiping at the wrong altar, and he brought that altar to Judah. When you bring strange things into your house, even though you may recover, your children may not. You will sow seeds. And if I had time today, I'd carry this back and show you where the seed was planted. It didn't start with Ahaz. It started way back there. But it carried through to Ahaz. And he, as a foolish king, tried foolish things. He built an altar in Jerusalem. It was a false altar. And they offered sacrifice. They even learned after the example of their children, they actually, or the heathen, they actually learned how to offer their children on an altar to a god of fire. Amen. You see, I'd never do that, Brother Grissom. You be careful what you bring in your house, or you may. Hello? You be careful what you bring in your house, or you just might be offering your children to a strange God. So Israel did that. And under Ahaz. And God sent judgment against them. Now it should have been a lesson. I don't know. What was Ahaz thinking when he watched the judgment of God against the northern tribes in Israel? And literally the king of Assyria took them into captivity. And instead of seeing that and hearing the words of the prophets had warned them and warned them and warned them and warned them. And then when it happened and the Assyrians took them away, instead of seeing that as the judgment of God, he saw that as the God of Assyria being greater than the God of Israel. That's what happens when you don't know your God. So Israel fell into great idolatry and great trouble. But thank God for a righteous man. Ahaz died. And his son took the throne. Now, I don't know exactly where Hezekiah got his righteousness. Perhaps from his great-grandfather and his grandfather. I don't know. He didn't get it from his father. Very likely, he got it from his mother. Thank God for godly women. Thank God for godly mothers. If you have a godly mother today, you have a treasure. Amen. If you have a mean mama that won't let you do things because she says that's not what Christians do, thank God for your mother. But everybody's doing it, mama. She says maybe, but you're not. An old mean mama. If you've got one of them, thank God for her. Amen. And so Israel had a righteous king. It was odd at first. Strange. One of the very first things that Hezekiah did was open up the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. His father closed it down. He opened it up. Let's go to the 18th chapter of 2 Kings. And let me just give you a brief quick outline of what Hezekiah did at the very beginning of his reign. I mean, he started off with a bang. First of all, the Bible says, verse 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Everybody see all that David did. He was a man that he didn't hold back anything. And you read about some kings that did part of it, but he did all of it. He went wholeheartedly after God. Verse number 4, he removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves, broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made for them unto the days of the children of Israel, did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. And so this idol that Israel had taken, something God used for good, and they turned it into an idol. You know, it's real easy to get to where you worship religion. Let me just say this here today without being misunderstood. It's possible to worship your church. It's possible to worship your organization. It's possible to worship your preacher. It's possible to worship all kinds of things. Amen. We never want to do that. The only object of worship here is Jesus Christ. Everything else is a vehicle. The organization is a tool that God uses for world evangelization. The church is God's bride, and it's a wonderful thing, but the church is not to be worshipped. Only Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Nothing else. Nothing more. Just Jesus. Amen. And so these people had taken something God used, and they actually turned it into an idol. And Hezekiah destroyed it. You mean that historical relic? Yeah, he did. He said, if you're going to worship the silly thing, Let's just tear it up. Let's break it. And he did. Praise God. Isn't it great to be around somebody that has good sense? Amen. So, this guy, he's going all out, isn't he? Verse number 5, it says, he trusted, everybody say trusted, in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. He trusted like nobody else trusted. That's why he's a righteous man. It says, for he clave to the Lord. He clinged to him. He embraced him. He hugged him close. And he never let him go. He's a righteous man. And he departed not from following him, but he kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. This is what will happen to a righteous man. Well, if you get God in your heart and you get Jesus in your heart, you'll grow a backbone. And you'll stand up to wrong. And you'll stand for right. Yes, you will. That's exactly what happened to Hezekiah. Now, the same thing that caused him to grow a backbone got him in trouble. Because his father had paid tribute to the king of Assyria. He tried to befriend the devil. It never works. It never works. He'll make you pay more than you intended to pay. He'll take you further than you intended to go. He'll make you stay longer than you intended to stay. And it'll cost you far more than you ever intended to pay. Don't make a deal with the devil. Hezekiah stood up to Sennacherib and he said, I'll not pay. I'm not going to rob the treasury of God to pay a heathen king. The Bible said God prospered him and God blessed him. He sent a troop, I'm telling you, of priests and Levites into the temple. And they got that buddy cleaned up. Took them 16 days. Can you imagine? There was so much clutter and so much dust and so much dirt. Took 16 days with an army of priests and Levites working to get the thing cleaned out. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that much clutter and dust can get in the church? In the house of God. Can get in our hearts too, can it? We can get things in our heart we need to get out. But they got the house of God cleaned up. They got the altar set up like it was supposed to be. And he said, boy, and I love this. The Bible said, and he called all of Israel. Now remember, the northern tribes had been carried away into captivity. But there was a remnant that was there. They left a few poor people behind. And he sent messengers up there. And he said, hey y'all, he said, come on down. We're getting ready to worship Jehovah, the God of Israel again. We've got everything set. He's excited about it. And if you really know God, you get excited about it. I'm sorry. If you don't get excited about God, you don't know Him yet. You can't really know Him without getting passionate and excited about Him. He sent all of his emissaries out. He said, y'all come on, we're getting ready to worship God. Hey, we're getting ready to have revival in Israel. And he called. And the Bible says that they laughed and scoffed and made fun of them. Your testimony is not always going to be received, even though it's with the best of intentions, and even though it's in the will of God. There will be people that will reject you. But Jesus said when they reject you, they're really rejecting me. God takes it personal when people take it out on his believers and his family. And so he sent, they didn't receive it, but there were some that did. Here, that's what we're looking for, folks, the remnant. Not everybody you testify is going to believe. Not everybody you invite is going to come. But that should not stop your testimony, and that should not stop your invitation. Keep inviting, keep working, keep praying, keep testifying, keep living, because there are some that are going to come. So they came. Amen. And I'm telling you, friend, they, as a matter of fact, they got, so I love this. They got, men, they got to worshiping, and it was supposed to last 7 days. And when it got to the end of the 7 days, they said, this is so good, let's do another week. Hallelujah. Anybody remember revivals like that? You know why we can't do it? Because we have a 3-day revival. And we have 3 different congregations. We have a 5-day revival. We have 5 different congregations. Amen. Boy, it's real quiet here right now, isn't it? Amen. But you know what a real revival is? You know when you're having revival, when the whole bunch shows up and they show up for 5 days or 7 days, and when you get to the end of it, they say, "What? Let's do it some more. Let's go another week." Then you know you're having revival. But when you get to the end of 3 days and people say, "I'm glad that's over. I don't think I could take much more." Amen. If you can get your cup full in 3 days, you don't have much of a cup. Praise God. Well, let me. That was harsh and mean, unkind. I'm sorry. Very judgmental, wasn't it? That's horrible. Amen. But they got so excited about revival, they said, "Let's go on." My, and they were having revival. Praise God. So Israel, he invited everybody. Amen. Things are happening. Praise God. Right in the middle of it, guess who shows up? The enemy comes in. Sennacherib comes. And boy, he's mad. Oh, he's madder than a hornet. He shows up with his soldiers and he sends his messengers and he starts bad-mouthing and talking. Hey, man, he talks against the king. He talks against Israel. He talks against God. He went too far. You get the challenge in God, he'll step up to the plate. And you'll say, "Oh, amen." That's what happened. If he just talked against the king, he might have got away with it. If he just talked against Israel, he might have got away with it. But he got to stepping on God's territory. Amen. This is my favorite battle, and in the whole Bible. This is better than David and Goliath. This is the greatest victory, as far as I'm concerned. This was the greatest battle in the whole Bible. You know how this battle was won? Sennacherib and his cohorts, they sent a letter to Hezekiah. And in that letter, they outlined all the stuff that they were going to do and what they were going to do to God, what they were going to go do to Israel and all that stuff and what they'd done to others and the whole thing. And they sent that to Hezekiah. You know what Hezekiah did with it? He took it down to the house of the Lord. And he laid it on the altar. And that righteous man, everybody say that righteous man. And that righteous man knelt down on his knees. And he got right down on that letter of threats and innuendos. And a whole lot of it was true. And he got to praying. Maybe some tears dripped down and fell on that letter. He got to talking to God. And he said, "God," he said, "what old Sennacherib said here is true. He's done everything he said he did. And if you don't help us, it's going to happen again. We don't have the power to stand against it. We're people of peace." And he began to pray his prayer to God, that righteous man. And as he began to pray his prayer, there was another old prophet that was praying. And God spoke to Isaiah. He said, "I want you to go down and I want you to tell Hezekiah not to worry about Sennacherib." Said, "You know all those armies that came here? They're not going home. I'm going to take care of them right now. And as for Sennacherib, he's going to go home, but he's going to die there." And just because of the prayer of a righteous man, the Bible said that night, one angel, went out to Sennacherib's army and killed 185,000 soldiers. One angel. Israel never lifted a hand and never went to battle. They didn't have to fight. Because of the prayers of one righteous man. Sennacherib ran home, went to the house of his God. He was at the altar of his God, worshiping his God. And his sons came in with the knives, and they thrust it through their own father in the house of his God. And he died at the altar of his God. I'm talking about the prayers of a righteous man. Amen. You have a relationship with God? Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Amen. I had a sweet little righteous mama that knew how to pray. Out of all 7 kids, I'm the only one that got in the church as a teenager and stayed in the church all these years. But you know what? My mama prayed. And even after she died, God still answered her prayers. Amen. And my brothers, one by one, God took them home. But before they went, each one made his peace with God. Amen. And I'm excited. I'm so excited to tell you that my sweet little sister, she's loved God all these years. But she hasn't served him like she needed to and wanted to. Amen. But just about 2 or 3 months ago, she got back to church. She's so excited living for God. And every time I see her, she says, I don't know why I waited so long. Amen. I'm talking about the prayers of a righteous person. Whether it's a man, it's a woman, doesn't matter. A prayer of righteousness is powerful. Amen. Brother Grissom, I don't know, I'm not seeing anything. I'm praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. You may not even see it in this life. Many of these things happened after my mom went on to be with the Lord. Amen. But it still happened. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Keep praying. You have children that are lost? Keep praying. You have family that needs to come to God? Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. After my mom passed away, I was with the man, and I was telling him that, you know, I think the thing that I missed the most about mom being gone is her prayers. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean? He said, those prayers didn't die. So those prayers are still working. Praise God. Your mom died, but those prayers are still working. And you know what? He's right. The prayers that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane are still working. The prayers that Paul and Peter prayed for the church are still working. The prayers of righteous down through the centuries, they're still working. The prayer of a righteous person. Let's stand together. Amen. I'm just saying today that there's a lot of power in the prayer of the righteous. Don't you be discouraged or dismayed, because God answers the prayers of the righteous. He answers it in His way, and He answers it in His time, but it will come. Amen. Pray on. Don't stop praying. Amen. Not righteous? It's time to get right. It doesn't take long to get right with God. Everybody in this building here today, you know if you're right with God or not. Nobody has to tell you that. Amen. Nobody has to judge you. You know if you're right with God or not. Amen. And if you need to make some changes and some adjustments, you know you need to get some things tuned up. Amen. I invite you today to come and get some things right. Amen. And it'll add a dimension to your prayers that nothing else can add. Just righteousness. Righteousness and prayer. A dynamic duo. Amen. Has incredible power. Praise God. Amen. I'd like to invite us now just to come talk to the Lord. If you're coming today, it doesn't mean that you're backslidden. It doesn't mean that you're a terrible sinner. All it's saying is, Jesus, I heard your word. I want to be righteous. And I want my prayers to be effective. I want my prayers to be effective. Amen. You're looking for prayers today. You're looking for prayer warriors. You're looking for people. The scripture said that you look for an intercessor, and the travesty was you couldn't find one. But God, I don't want that to be the case in 2011 in Athens, Texas. If you're looking for somebody to pray, there's some people here that say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Use me. Let me pray. Praise God. Here am I, Lord. Please, use me. Amen. Let me be your vessel. Let me do your will. Use me, God, as a partner in miracles for this last day. Praise God. Teach me, Jesus. Teach me. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I bring to you all that I am and all that I'm not, all that I want to be. Amen. God, I bring you my weaknesses as well as my strengths, my fears as well as my faith. God, I bring it all to you today. Now ask you to help me, Jesus. I'm going to lay it here at this altar. Amen. Take my weaknesses and my faults and my failures and my fears and my sins. God, take them all. Cleanse them. Wash them. When Hezekiah came to the throne, the house of God was in ruins. Amen. There was so much bad. It didn't discourage you. It didn't cause you, Lord Jesus, in any way. Amen. To do any less. Praise God. But you came to that place and you cleaned it up. And once again, you put your presence and your power and your glory in that house. So we're asking you, God, with this heart of ours tonight. Amen. With all of its shortcomings and its faults and its failures and even its gross sins. I ask you, God, to come with the cleansing of your blood and wash us again and purify us, O Lord. Cleanse us and make us clean. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. David prayed. He said, cleanse me, Lord, from even secret sins. Amen. Things that maybe I'm not even aware of. Lord, I don't want anything to stand in our way. Cleanse me. And if you cleanse me, I'll be clean. If you make me right, I'll be right. Amen. I'll be what I ought to be. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Hallelujah. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. You are just great. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are. In this place, mighty God,
praise your awesome in this place, mighty God.
Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. You are awesome in grace. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Brother Grissom, we have an urgent prayer request. Ashley, you want to tell him about it?
Let's pray for Sister Johnson right now, right? Amen. Praise God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous availeth much. Let's pray right now. Jesus, we come in your name. The righteous God are asking today before the righteous King. We ask you to intervene for Sister Johnson right now, Lord, and give healing to her body. Amen. Curse sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let healing and help and restoration, God, come to her body. We believe it. We claim it. We declare it. We thank you for it. Right now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.